Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, Mel Gibson directed a movie called The Passion of the Christ. Now, the movie targeted adult audiences because Mel wanted to show Jesus' incredible suffering and death the way the Gospels and church art have portrayed them. Now, you may have heard that right now he's working on a follow-up movie on Jesus' resurrection appearances. But I have to wonder how this new movie will be received. See, many of my colleagues in the Academy faulted The Passion of the Christ for being anti-Semitic. Of course, you know, Mel made some comments at the time that probably didn't help. But is the movie itself really anti-Semitic? See, the critics thought that the movie was slamming the Jews and their leaders for being guilty of crucifying Jesus. The Jewish leaders seemed like the bad guys who were orchestrating Jesus' death. But really, that criticism gives far too much credit to the Jews and their leadership, as if they were the ones ultimately responsible for Jesus' death. See, Gibson included several scenes in his movie that flashed back to Jesus' earthly ministry, and those scenes provide context to understand Jesus' death on the cross. And in one of those scenes, we hear the words at the very end of our gospel text for today. No one takes my life from me, because I lay down my life on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. See, you don't have to wait until the resurrection for Jesus to reveal his power. Easter power was at work all through Jesus' ministry and even in his death. He chose to lay down his life. No one could take it from him. Jesus tells disciples just a few chapters later in John chapter 14 that not even Satan has any power over him, let alone the Jews or the Romans. The power of Jesus, even in his death on the cross, is why we're looking at this text in Easter season. Resurrection power was even there at the cross. Now, when the events of Jesus' death begin to unfold later in John's story, the authorities came to arrest Jesus, and he asked them whom they were seeking. They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And then came the response, I am he. The soldiers and the officials collapsed to the ground. Jesus had to speak to them again and try to help them out. I mean, you can just imagine the moment when he said to them, I am. Like the voice that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, the voice of God, the great I am. At his trial before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate would say to Jesus, don't you know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? Jesus responds, you'd have no authority over me at all if it hadn't been given to you from above. So in today's gospel lesson, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The most powerful force in the universe is at work in Jesus' death, the love of God. He told his disciples, I have the right to take my life back up again. And he did. And that powerful, risen shepherd is at work in our lives. Today we want to explore what it means for the good shepherd to be in our lives and at our side. Now, to help us understand this, Jesus offers a contrast when he talks about the hired hand. See, the hired hand, since he's not the shepherd and he doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches them and scatters them. This happens because he's the hired hand and he doesn't care about the sheep. See, the difference is that the good shepherd owns the flock and is invested in it. The hired hand is just someone there for the money. Here today, gone tomorrow. There's no real love or concern for the animals. The Lord, on the other hand, is invested in you and me in a way that no one else ever can be. I mean, sometimes we look for love in all the wrong places. We look to a pastor. We look to a spouse. We look to a friend or a family member or to parents. The only love that will ever ultimately sustain us is the love of our shepherd. He loves us like no human being ever could. That's why he was willing to die for us. You know, the readers of John's gospel, they saw this contrast with their very eyes. John was writing after the Jewish revolt against Rome in the year 66 to 70 AD. Jesus had suffered and died for the sheep a generation before, but the hired help, well, when they saw the wolves coming, they ran away. The Roman legions circled the city of Jerusalem in 70. The Pharisaic leadership sneaked out of the city during the siege to flee north to Galilee, where they would assume power after the war. The flock had been snatched and scattered, but their leaders ran away. Now, Jesus took a different approach. He told Peter after the resurrection, "Simon Barjona, do you love me? Take care of my sheep." He said that three times. Real power is not to leave the sheep behind or to care about personal gain. It is to sacrifice oneself for the sake of the flock. The Jewish leadership didn't do that. Jesus did. Now, if you ever visit southern Kenya or Tanzania, you'll come across the Maasai people who live there, and they're hard to miss, at least for me. Their average height is over 6 feet tall. Now, they might confuse me with one of the pygmies from the tribe next door. They're a tough group. They're nomads who live out in the rough wild. They own their own livestock. But what they're best known for is not their height, but the care they provide for their animals, even to the point of dying, to protect them from predators. Now, a shepherd from the West by the name of Philip Keller went to go live for a time with the Maasai and witnessed their love and devotion in action. See, one day a 10-year-old boy was rushed to the house where he was staying. The boy had single-handedly tackled a young lioness trying to kill one of the flock. I mean, he managed to spear the lion, but had gotten mauled in the process. So they rushed him to the nearest hospital, which is over 27 miles away. But you wonder, I mean, why would a young boy do this? Because the sheep were his own. He loved them and would not spare his life for their sake. Like the young David who would become Israel's greatest king, the boy defended the flock from the lions. He was a good shepherd, willing to give his life for the sheep. The prophets of Israel cried out against shepherds who would feed themselves but let their flocks go hungry. These so-called shepherds would let their flocks be scattered. They couldn't be bothered to go find them. Jesus had seen the same thing happening when he visited the temple in Jerusalem. He found people there making a buck for themselves at the expense of the people. How often do we hear about imposters taking advantage of God's people? How many church scandals do we hear about in the news today? Lately, we've been hearing about Willow Creek. Now, did you know that there are certain preaching guidelines in effect there? No one can preach a sermon that talks about hell. Well, that's too scary. That's inappropriate. That wouldn't sell well with a megachurch crowd. I mean, it's not like we're trying to warn people and save them from something. That Maasai boy that day fought a very real lion. There are very real dangers in our world, and people need to be warned and, if possible, protected from them. That's why our church is being so careful with its pastoral call process. We're seeking a true under-shepherd, not a hired laborer who'll run away from his duties. We're looking for an under-shepherd who's taken lessons from the master, the good shepherd. We're looking for someone who will wash the feet of the lowly, rather than to seek individual glory and honor. Isn't that what Jesus did for the sheep just a few chapters later in John? To be a leader is to serve others, even to the point of death. And that was exactly what the Good Shepherd did on the cross. Jesus reassures us, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own. My own know me, just as a father knows me, and I know the Father. I mean, isn't that the ultimate measure of whether a shepherd is good or not? How well does he know his sheep? A shepherd gets his hands dirty. He works with the sheep. He knows their habits. He knows how they behave and express themselves. He's never taken by surprise because he's grown to anticipate how they'll react to different situations. He loves being in their midst and is comfortable with them. He delights in caring for them. You know, going back to the Maasai people in Eastern Africa, you know, they tell their visitors that God has given them this responsibility for their animals. So they dedicate themselves completely to the care of their flocks. They hand-rear their lambs, kids, and calves in their family circles. They give the animals cute names. You know, they form bonds with them early on that endure to the end. Our guest shepherd was amazed at how the Maasai would regularly go up there. They'd go up their animals. They'd caress them. They'd talk to them. They'd hold lambs in their arms while the others would come running because they knew that they'd be safe in their owner's embrace. The Lord, our shepherd, knows us like that. He's known us from our mother's wombs. He's watched us closely through the years. He's been watching over you. And there's an intimacy here. See, the Good Shepherd knows us as well as he knows his own Father. And as God the Father knows the Son. We can't even begin to imagine the depths of the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. It's too profound even to imagine. And that is how well the Son knows you. He knows your innermost thoughts. You know, a lot of people battle depression. And a big part of that is a profound sense of being alone. I mean, we think we're dealing with the trials of this life without any help, as if there's no one out there who cares. I mean, we think that somehow we don't measure up, or we aren't very significant in this world. We're insignificant. No one would miss us if we ever went away. Maybe you fought depression in your life. But our gospel text assures you that you are never alone. There's actually someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. And he does not give us more than we can handle. And he's right there at our side to pick us up when we stumble or fall. I mean, if our shepherd loved us enough to the point of giving his life for us, isn't he right there in the everyday trials that we face? I mean, sometimes we just think that we're unlovable. Feeling that depression can be a sense of our sins and the evil in our lives. We feel worthless. In Greek mythology, Hercules was given what was supposed to be an impossible task. He was to clean the massive Aegean stables where thousands of horses had left their dung, kind of like our sins. It became a mountain engulfing the place. And Hercules knew that even with his strength, he could never remove all the filth. So he went up into the hills, and he found a rushing mountain stream. He diverted the waters from their course and toward the stables. The water streamed down from above and flushed all the filth away. Now, that's just a myth. But this is a truth. When Jesus gave his life for us, blood and water poured from his side of the cross to wash away our sins. The water that flowed upon us from Jesus' side have become the waters of baptism. And those waters have left us clean. We are not unlovable as sheep. The shepherd loved us enough to give his life for us. He rose from the dead and he kept on going. No matter how difficult the challenges that we face, the risen Lord is right there at your side. Now, there's an old story that you may remember. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across a dark sky flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back on the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there is only one set of footprints. And this really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I was following you, you'd walk with me all the way, but I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you would leave me. He whispered, "My dear child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. Not even during your trials and your testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, that was when I was carrying you." No matter how bad things may seem in our life, remember, the Good Shepherd knows us better than we know ourselves. He's carrying us through what we're facing. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.